Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
A week ago today, just 1 week ago, BT, we're out at the stadium talking to Aaron Boone and Andy Pettit and Dave Sims and everybody talking about the Yanks. Oof. And then we saw the Torpedo Bats in action. You and I both didn't make too big of a deal of it. Talked about the Yankee hitters being the big difference there, the ballpark and the crappy Brewer pitching. And the real test would be when the Diamondbacks came to town. And now we're seeing quite the opposite result.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of empty at-bats, which is a little surprising to this extent, for sure. 30 strikeouts in two games is just utterly unacceptable at any level of baseball. So, listen, I think that the Yankees so far have kind of shown me what I thought that they would be. Remember, I didn't have them anything nuts. I had them slightly over the 89.5 wins. I'm just over that. I did not say they were a lock to win this division. I was very worried with the injuries. I was very excited about the prospects of some new blood, some young kids getting out there, Goldschmidt coming in, Bellinger coming in. I think what really bothers me, aside from all those strikeouts, and the situational hitting is still a problem, and it's been that way for a while, but I don't think the Yankees will quite be as reliant on home runs as they, even though they have so far this year, as they will be, or as they have been in the past. What I'm waiting for, and you got to get some hits to actually do this, I'm waiting to see the Yankees run. Like, they've got one stolen base in five games, and that might not seem a stolen base. 2025, what is this, 1980? No. But to me, the ability for the Yankees to roll out back-to-back-to-back elite athletes, whether it's Jazz Volpe and Jason Dominguez in the 4-5-6 hole or the 5-6-7 hole, obviously Bellinger can run a bit. He's got the only steal. I really do think that the Yankees at some point will become a faster, more streamlined team than they look now. They will not be fully reliant on power, but if they don't make more contact, then they're going to have some issues.
But it's only a couple game sample. This is a conversation with the Yankees every single year. It's the same thing every year. They abuse, that's why I didn't go nuts when the first three games of the season. That's what they did. They abuse bad pitching.
Yeah.
And then against good pitching, they strike out way too much, and they have inconsistent hitters in that lineup. Okay, you mentioned the speed of Jazz and Volpe. If I ask you right now through six game or five games for the Yankees, What has been the greatest attribute offensively of both Jazz and Volpe?
They've been going yard. I mean, Volpe, another one. Neither one has a stolen base, by the way. Zero.
It's been their power.
Yeah.
Volpe is hitting 200 with an on base of 273, but he's got four home runs.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'd rather four doubles and a couple. I said that to you yesterday.
That's the problem. Jazz, the same thing. Dominguez, 0 for 4 last night with 3 strikeouts. Ben Rice, he went on the upper deck, which is great, yeah, against a lefty reliever. And then again, 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts last night.
Nobody hit last night except Austin Wells had a couple of hits.
Gallen, and by the way, Boone seems to be married to, now watch, tonight will be a different lineup, but the majority, the majority has been Goldie, Bellinger, Judge, Jazz, Volpe, Wells, as opposed to Wells leading off and then the other way.
Yep.
Now, who knows, even against the righties, but we know Diamondbacks with good righties with Burns and Gallen. We'll see what happens tonight with that lineup. But either way, it's just, these are the legit question marks that you have going in. You saw the best of what it could be. You've seen the worst of what it could be. It's probably somewhere in between. Is the in-between going to be good enough or better than last year? I don't think so.
Well, I don't think it's going to be better enough or good enough or better. As I should stop the hybrid words, I'm creating words. I don't know that it will be better in the sense that the Yankees are in the World Series. The only way it could be better is if they win the World Series. And I'm on the record, I don't think this team looks like they could win a World Series. I've said that. I said that going into the year. I still feel that now. I think they'll be a playoff team. I think it's going to be a battle. Devers started to get his act together, had a couple of hits last night. Boston's going to be very good. I think Toronto's won some games early on. We'll see Toronto in Queens against the Mets this weekend. Weather permitting, it's going to be an absolute monsoon all weekend. I can't stand that. I do think, though, while I didn't overreact either to the home runs, I'm not going to overreact to this two-game sample where they do look like they've regressed and kind of mirror who they were in the past. Because I really do think, Sal, when this team is playing regularly and guys are in the flow and it's not the first week or two of the season, I think they're going to be a very good defensive team. I think Goldschmidt's going to be very good. I think Jazz is going to be very good. I know Volpe's very good.
Bellinger looks terrific out there.
He's rock solid in center. Judge could play right. Wells good behind the dish. The one problem spot could be third base and left field. We'll see. But I do think they'll run more. I do think they'll turn a ton of double plays. I do think they'll bludgeon bad pitching. I don't think they'll hit good pitching that often because they usually don't. I think really what the key is, and this is what had me worried going into the season, you know, they're going to have to win a lot of shootouts because the starting pitching, you know, Rodon right away, boom, two spot gives that up right away. You know, you're in the hole. And then a couple more.
Trust Rodon.
I hear. And then a couple more, it's 4-0. It's like, all right, then Volpe, it's a 3-run bomb, maybe cosmetic last inning, whatever, game over, you lose. But I just think that for the Yankees to get to that 90-ish win total, they're going to have to out-hit more teams than not. Because I don't think they're going to out-pitch many teams, and I've thought that before the season.
But they still can do that, to your point, because when they play the Pirates,
Skeens is not pitching that series.
So then maybe that'll favor them a little bit. But get the point. Against the teams that are mid-level, and even the good teams all don't have great pitching. Mm. Remember, this was a theme you and I were on early last year where, the Yankees look great, but I wanted to see how they did against Seattle. And against good pitching, maybe they lost 2 out of 3, or against Baltimore, and they lost 2 out of 3. They were beating everybody else, but the good teams held them back. And it was really a theme all year long, and even in the postseason where, Kansas City's not that good. Cleveland, not that good. Now, at some point, you get to the World Series, mm-hmm. and the Yankees ended up getting beat, but they made it all the way to that point. Is it going to be the same thing, even without Juan Soto, that, they'll mash in their home ballpark against the teams with B-minus or worse pitching, but then when they face a good team like the Diamondbacks, who were throwing studs at you left and right, they're going to scuffle a little bit.
And they got another one tonight. Merrill's pretty good, too. I'm not prepared to say that. I'm not prepared to denounce that either. I think that could happen, but I'm not prepared to say that. I think this team is much more athletic than they've been. Generally, athleticism leads to some more infield hits, some fewer strikeouts, more steals, better defense. I do think by midseason, I think the Yanks will look a little different, but 30 strikeouts in 2 games, that should never happen.
Yeah.
That's just a bad approach, and that's unacceptable results.
Don't you think?
It's like missing tackles in the NFL. About us coming on a Monday or penalties, like an inordinate amount of penalties or just missed tackles, and we've seen both from the Jets and the Giants. Take your pick. Listen, we know that both teams are short on talent in certain spots maybe, but that's what drives you nuts because it's a focus. It's an approach. It's a lack of doing things that textbook that you've been doing your whole life. When you strike out that many times, what are you doing? Are you trying to lift the ball? Are you changing your approach with 2 strikes? I know you're not going to choke up like it's 1974. I get that. But good God, 30 whiffs is just gross.
Yeah, and don't you think it's an organizational philosophy? Because this has been a pattern.
It has been. I can't say that you're wrong. It's been like this for a long time. Going back to the A-Rod days, like they would do this.
Yeah, well, and I was just joking about the song that I wrote on the overnight, but this is going back a few years where it was so bad. I forget what exact year it was, maybe 21, whatever, calling them the Yankees. That it's been a thing. You're right, even before that. So it's not just you put on pinstripes and you're either hit a home run or strike out. It's the type of player, or it could be a combination of both, the type of player that they're bringing in, or how they are teaching these hitters to approach things offensively.
I've said that for a while. Yeah. Now, I'm not inside the Yankees hitting lab, but I've talked to a few people, and they've also changed a few things, to be clear. Maybe not completely changed, but tweaked a few things, okay? And I love the approach. I mean, there's been players who have left the Yankees that have flat out said that, you know, basically they let a good pitch or two go by early because it's not necessarily a pitch they can lift. If you can't lift it, you can't hit it out of the park. Well, or you might not lift it, you know, over the wall, but you might rip a double down the line or a double in the gap or a line drive the other way. See, I think and this is why I do think the Yankees are going to look different and really have me intrigued as to who they become this year. They are going to, well, if they make contact, put stress on opposing defenses. And, like, that brings me back to Volpe and Jazz. All right, great. Volpe's got 4 home runs. Fantastic. All right. You know, 2 scraped the wall. 1 was left field, which was nice. But I'm happy, but I'm not overly impressed by that. The way that the Yankees maximize who they are is if Volpe is on first base and going first to third, first to home on a double, second to third, and then scoring on a sac fly. Same with Jazz, who's got 3 home runs,
right. But
has struck out more than 40% of the time he's gotten up to bat.
And he's never been a good high average guy.
No, Jazz. He's always been a low on base guy, okay, about 310, 312, right. Which is why I don't think Boone really messed around too much with him as a leadoff guy. Like 1 or 2 flirtations in spring, but if it was Jason Dominguez early, then it was a little Jazz, mm-hmm. Then it was, you know, Wells, and then he kind of stuck with Wells, and now we get Goldschmidt, you know, and Volpe never really got a look this year because never on base.
Right, same thing. So 2 of their speed guys, their greatest attribute has been the power.
Yeah, it's like running a race without tying up your shoes. Are you going to really maximize top speed if you're not ready to run? And this is not, again, I'm not going, it's 2 games, man, and 3 games they've looked great, even though the Brewers stink. I am interested to see how they respond today and over the weekend. But this recipe is not going to lead to a championship. That I can promise you.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Pat is in Boca Raton, Florida. What's up, Pat?
What's going on, guys?
How are
you? Pat?
I just, what you were speaking about just a couple of seconds ago, what team beats up on dominating pitching? I mean, you guys are talking, not BT, Sal,
I was saying
the Yankees saying they're going to get dominated by dominating pitchers. Of course they are.
Yeah. Well,
you got to fight and claw and scratch and score a couple of runs and beat a team.
Yeah.
They scored a couple of runs off Burns. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Huh? They struck out 16 times. Yeah.
But I don't know where you're saying that people beat up on dominating pitching.
I didn't
you
say
beat
that.
Up on crappy pitching, and then you get scratch and claw and win.
You shouldn't. No, the Yankees are bullies. You shouldn't beat up and abuse.
You lost by 1 run last night, and you blew a game the night before. I get it.
They lost by 1 run. Did you watch the game? They were getting shut out until Volpe hit a home run the 9th inning.
And that matters?
Yeah, it does. It does. The majority of the game, they did nothing. Hey, if you're... go ahead. What?
No, go ahead. I'm not going to yell over you, man. That makes no sense.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you're happy with the Yankee offense, you could be happy with it. I want a little bit more myself.
Well, I'm not happy. And I think, Pat, you can't be happy at all.
No.
Well, but Pat, hold on a sec, Pat. So you mentioned, and it's a good question, but I do think you're kind of misrepresenting. And by the way, I've been saying that as well, that they just don't hit good pitching. Because if you're a Yankee fan, I mean elite pitching, you know that this has been a theme for a while. Now, couple things here. First of all, they scored 4 runs or whatever it was off of Burns. 2 came out a flip that went over his head by Naylor at first base. So they did not hit Corbin Burns, and he struck him out 15 times, or as a team they did. What I'm talking about, and I think what Sal's talking about as well, no, you don't expect to take a Corbin Burns or a Pedro back in the day and have 3 home runs and 4 doubles and crank out 8 runs. No, you don't expect to obliterate and bludgeon elite pitching, but you can't have so many empty at-bats. You've got to at least put yourself in a bit. And they did not do this against Corbin Burns when they had twice this happen in the game where they had multiple guys on with less than 2 outs. They did not advance. They did not score. Now, again, it's only early April, so I'm not going nuts, but this is kind of a recurring theme with the Yankees offensively for a while. Yankees will bash couple of hundred home runs. The Yankees will be a playoff team, but the Yankees are vulnerable, seemingly where they've been vulnerable for a while.
They struck out 30 times in two games.
I mean, it's...
And that's not just against starters. Yeah, Gallen is terrific, but you can't put the ball in play? I mean, good God, 30 times against the Diamondbacks staff. Yeah, two good starters in Burns and Gallen, but also the bullpen arms as well. 30 times in two games after mauling Nestor Cortez and the Brewers. You want to take bows after beating up on Nestor Cortez, then you got to take some shots after getting smoked by Zach Gallen. I mean, that's the way it is. Nobody's expecting him to go out there and beat them up, but if you're a good offensive team, you're going to put the bat on the ball and maybe score some runs. I mean, good God, 30 times in two games. That's a bully offense. And too many times in recent years, going back a while now, the Yankees have been a bully offense.
I did this quick here. I don't have all the math, but I mean, the Yankees' K rate is unsightly. I mean, almost every guy, with the exception of Austin Wells, who I think has only struck out three times. That includes Volpe, that includes Judge, that includes everybody. The Jazz, the Yankees' strikeout rate, like almost all these guys, are like 35-40%.
Yeah. Is that good?
No.
Yeah, okay. I mean, this is not, and by the way, yeah, you're right, BT. Thank you. He came at me because he knows that I'm the Met fan of the two of us, but we're saying the same thing about the Yankees.
I'm saying the same.
You got to prove yourself to be a little more consistent. I'd rather not score 100 runs against the Brewers in three games and score 15 and win those games and also score 15 against the Diamondbacks. I want to keep it consistent. It can't be 900 runs against the Brewers in three games. Oh, my God, look at this, breaking records. Uh-huh. And then two games later, breaking records the other way with the strikeouts.
Listen, it's not that dissimilar, and I don't want to pick on them because they've had a good year despite last night. I mean, the Knicks are going to win 51-52 games. I have not been impressed coming in after some games where they just beat up on a team that's going nowhere. You know what? What do you do against the really good teams? That is the barometer. And I don't know for sure that the Diamondbacks are going to be a really good team. But I'll tell you what, Corbin Carroll's going to have a better year than he did a year ago, and they got some top pitching, as the Yankees have already found out. You know, so I do think that it's an interesting barometer. And, you know, we talk about Pete. That's how we started the show. Yeah. If you guys missed anything, free Odyssey app, and we'll get back to the Met calls as well. But we talk about, has Pete truly changed his approach, meaning gotten back to his approach early when he was a better average hitter the first 4 or 5 years of his career? And my answer is yes, small sample. Small sample for Volpe. Volpe has not changed his approach,
right?
Which is what I've been on forever. Now, maybe there's Yankees that are hearing this, and they're like, well, no, he has changed his approach. Okay, and I'm not saying that he's not trying to, but when he's on base 20% of the time, or 29%, which is just utterly unacceptable, I have not seen a real approach change yet.
Mike is calling from Mountainside. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey.
Guys, a real big thing watching last night, I know Volpe hit the home run, but my big takeaway, Zach Gallen was great last night. He was on. He was very good, locating everything in, out, breaking ball, slider was awesome, right? Volpe gets him 0-2. I believe this was in the sixth inning. He gets him 0-2, and he hits a fly ball, a lazy, lazy fly ball to the second baseman. This is a situation where you're 0-2. This got to be a ball on the line. You know what I mean? I just think they're too focused on lift and the instant offensive home runs, which is great. But there's going to be nights where you run into a pitcher like a Zach Gallen or Corbin Burns when they're on and that lift is not happening.
Oh, Garrett Crochet in the division. I agree.
Sorry to cut you off there, Mike. We appreciate the call. Yeah, Volpe has said he's just trying to hit the ball hard and some of them are going out. And I think there's some truth to that at Yankee Stadium, especially to right field. Bottom line is, the numbers are going to be what they are. You got to get on base. You got to hit for a higher average. Even if you devalue the average, you got to be getting on base.
Yeah.
And two of their guys that can wreak havoc on the base paths, Jazz and Volpe, have been home run machines in the first five games. That's not what you want.
No. Anthony Volpe is, and that's why I've always thought this is the year we're going to say we want an answer on Dominguez and somebody like Beatty from a Mets perspective. I'm not saying that it would lead to Volpe not being here, but I'm going to get answers that I need. Like, I know going into 2026, I'm going to look at Volpe one way or another. Now, his floor is higher than a lot of others, so he's going to hit some home runs, going to steal some bases, going to pick at a shortstop, going to play every day, durable, loves the game, great. But as you play, you know, 3, 4, 5 seasons, you are who you are for the most part, and Jazz Chisholm has played 5, 6 seasons. He's on base 31% of the time. stinks.
Not good enough.
Is that a change?
Not when, you know, not when speed is going to be one of your strengths.
Yeah.
Again, you're not turning away the homers, but if you're going to hit with the power, that should be in addition to the other things. It can't be the majority of guys in their lineup are all or nothing home run hitters. It's not going to work like that. How many times have we had this same conversation? BT and Sal on the Fan will continue that same conversation. Also, get back to the Pete stuff, and I want to get into maybe the future of BT. I know it's early, six games in, but if Pete does play at an MVP level, what does that mean for his market? What does that mean?
Oh, here we go.
What does it mean for his Mets tenure? I mean, those are things here where we were just assuming, oh, he's going to go out there.
He's gone soon.
I mean,
that was the assumption.
Yeah, well, maybe things have changed. Dude, my back, my lower back and right hamstring.
Yeah.
Just barking, sore from one, like, and it wasn't like I was sprinting.
Yeah. How many blocks here?
A good, at least five blocks, I would say.
When was the last time you ran? Was it the charity softball game?
It's been a long time.
Might have been, right?
Since I actually ran. Nah, I mean, that's going back a long time.
2 years ago. It's not that long.
I've probably been on the Peloton, though, okay, or something like that.
It's different, though.
Like running, yeah.
Actually, I mean, sprinting without something that's restricting your movement.
Occasionally, if I'm, you know, trying to catch a train or whatever, I'll move it a little bit. But this was a significant... But my right hamstring.
Getting older, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Anyway, speaking of getting older, the Mets are going to celebrate, as broken here on the BT and Sal show, the Mets will celebrate their 2000 and 2015 NL pennant winning teams before tomorrow's home opener. Al Leiter, John Franco throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah.
Al let the cat out of the bag with us last week.
He did.
This is old news, DeComo. Come on. Tony DeComo of MLB.com tweeting this out. So Franco and Leiter for the first pitch for 2000. Guess who's going to be throwing out the first pitch? Two guys from the 2015 team.
It's not going to be DeGrom.
No.
Harvey?
No, but that's...
Matt Harvey.
Yeah,
not Syndergaard.
You would think... No,
Terry Collins?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll give
Danny
you a hint.
Murphy?
I'll give you a hint. One... No, I mean, these
are all good guesses. Yeah, exactly, I'm running out of names here, but...
So,
Cespedes?
So get where we're going. No, another good guess, but get where we're going here. One is a pitcher, starting pitcher of that team. The other was an outfielder.
The other was an outfielder. Who am I forgetting with the pitchers? I said Syndergaard, said Matt Harvey.
The best one?
Yeah. I said DeGrom?
The most durable one.
Who? Why am I forgetting? Who?
Bartolo. he was the most durable one.
And the outfielder, it's not Cespedes?
No. Juan Lagares.
Oh, God. The center fielder, all he could do was catch.
Dude. I mean, I love Lagares. You know me.
He can go get it. He just couldn't hit. Why is Juan Lagares
Franco
throwing it out?
Leiter for 2000, Bartolo and Juan Lagares.
Juan Lagares? It's a little light there, no?
Everybody else was busy, I guess.
Come on. That's... Like Bartolo, I mean, people love him.
Bartolo's
home run,
fine.
And he was good.
But even Bartolo to Terry would be... Terry Collins.
Yeah, that's why I said Terry Collins.
That would be Juan Lagares.
That's a weird one, man.
Who are you pulling that one from? You couldn't get Curtis Granderson? I mean, there are endless options from 2015. All right, Wright, Murphy, Cespedes, Harvey. Oh, Harvey's... Come on, he's around.
Yeah, he was there recently, last year, right?
Well, want to get Harvey out there? He seems to be going a lot of these games. Anyway, all right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's get back to
the... By the way,
weather's
going to be awful.
What is the deal with that? I hate to speculate and turn people off, but see, this is the problem because they have the off day today. The Mets' schedule to start this year, it's not that it's been, you know, a disadvantage to them playing games. It's just been a cluster bleep because to have an off day Sunday and then play three straight and have an off day Thursday and have your home opener on a Friday.
I know, it's
with
very
no
strange.
Wiggle room with a team that doesn't come back to town is idiotic. Major League Baseball, what are you doing? So anyway, the weather, what do we got?
All right, believe it or not, tomorrow might actually be okay. I think I'm more concerned with Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
I'm looking at 12 noon, 59 degrees, nominal winds, 15, 18, 20% chance of rain, and you can see the sun popping out of the sun emoji here.
What time?
So from 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, actually, okay, you're
so
fine tomorrow.
Should be good. Okay, good.
The problem's going to be Saturday and Sunday.
What's the temperature for tomorrow?
55, 56.
Nice opening day weather.
That's fine.
Nothing like the home opener.
I know, it is. And it's nice when it's a little chilly.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Weird. It just kind of feels.
Feel.
It does.
Saturday. Like last night it was very chilly at the stadium, and it kind of felt like October, and the results backed that up.
Mm. All right, so Saturday was, Saturday, high of 49. That's going to be a little rough. Winds picking up, 11, 12, 13 miles per hour, 70% chance of rain. Sunday, showers.
I hate that.
50% chance of rain. Yeah.
You think
Saturday and Sunday will be a little dicey.
You think Cohen just gets to a point where he says, screw it. I'm just going to buy the roof
over
it. I'm tired of dealing with this. I know it's billions.
Would you want one?
I would not. I like the idea of it because I hate the uncertainty. I always think back, anytime this comes up, I always think back to a specific date when I was a kid. I want to say 1997 season, around there, mm-hmm. before I could go on my own. Somebody got tickets in my family. My father must have got them, my mother, whatever. And they took our family, my dad, me, my sister, going to the game,
yeah.
and it was raining. And, like, this was before I could go on my own and just go to a bunch of games. It was a rare, it might have even been 95, something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was rare to go to a game. So it brings me back to the one day that you get to go to a game with your family. If it happens to be raining, then what? It ruins the whole excitement. And there's a buildup. You get those tickets. You used to have them in hand. We're going to the game on Wednesday night. Going to the Met game. Can't wait. Oh, Sal, two more days, whatever. Mm-hmm.
They'd be on the refrigerator with a magnet.
Yeah exactly. Yeah, right. You're looking at them. And then the rain happens. So from that point of view, I hate that it ruins. You know, people come from all over the place, whether it's Jersey, whether it's Connecticut, you know, whatever, to go see the Mets or against their team. I hate the uncertainty of it that impacts the fans. But no, from a baseball standpoint, I hate baseball with a roof.
Yeah, I don't like it either. Now, Florida, you need it. Certain spots, you need it. Maybe even Arizona with the oppressive heat. It's just too hot. Now, here's the dilemma. Let's say that Cohen decides to do that at some point, and it's...
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Game, first pitch, 8-18 World Series, 2031 World Series. It's 48 degrees at first pitch.
Yeah.
At like 8:18,
and you got to go with the roof.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't go with the roof. That's baseball. Suck it up. World Series, October weather.
My rule would be, I don't care if it's 10 degrees out. If it's not raining, if there's no precipitation, the roof is staying open.
Yeah,
because you freeze your rear end off.
No, you do,
and we've done that many times. Both Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, Citi Field, whatever. But that's part of October baseball. I want to be there and walk in and be bundled up and be a little cold.
Have you ever watched a game from inside of a dome? I know you've been out to the A's old ballpark.
Yes.
Like, what stadiums have you?
Rogers Center.
Okay, so it's around, though.
When it was closed.
Oh, how is that? I heard that's a nice stadium.
Yeah, but I'd rather have experienced it open.
Yeah, I got
it. It was okay. Arizona, I've been to that one with the roof on top.
Oh, yeah, you got a bunch in.
Now,
okay.
They have the roof on top because it's too...
It's just too humid. It's way too hot.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So I just don't like
Marlins?
It.
No.
I have not been to that one yet. You've done it?
I've been to a few. I've been to Toronto, Trop, not too many. I've been to the Rangers' new stadium, but only as a tour.
The brand new one?
Yeah, okay, like my, yeah. Jen's, one of her best friends, works for the Rangers, so they gave us a private tour like when it opened. And it's nice, but they do feel a bit antiseptic. Yeah. Like it's not what we're used to.
I don't like baseball in a dome, bottom line. But I also hate rainouts. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to Pete Alonso, Jonathan Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys? So Pete Alonso is off to a great start, and you know what? If I was him, he's got to take advantage of this great start and say, hey, he's open on staying with the Mets. He's open to signing an extension now. And go out to the media and get the media on his side. The fans are on his side right now. He's got to strike when the iron's hot and say he's open for business now before the offseason comes. So this way, you know, eventually he's going to break the record. He's going to have all the fans on his side. And then that's when you come out and say, listen,
the fans love
you sign me now or I'm gone.
And the Mets would say, see ya, and thank you for the call, John. The Mets fans also love Joe McEwing. Now, not to compare the two, but you shouldn't be basing your argument off of Mets fan love.
No.
It is, however, an interesting thought, and we could have this conversation, and look, this is going to be a part of the conversation probably all year long.
All year is the story. That's
Pete Alonso. First of all, he is signed to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a free agent at the end of this year. He has the option to opt out.
Yeah.
If he so chooses to do that.
Early signs are he's going to be opting out.
Okay, fair enough. He runs the risk then of not wanting to be a lifelong Met, like every Met fan thinks. Pete wants to be a lifelong Met.
Yeah.
Now, if he has an MVP type year, does that put the Mets in a spot where they feel comfortable? Or forget about even the MVP. If he looks like he did in 2019 and 2022 and shows that the last 2 years were the outlier, they were the aberration, and Pete is back. Would David Stearns and the Mets invest bigger in Pete Alonso?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, on some level, they'd almost have to.
30 a year, let's say, for...
How many? Four?
I mean...
He's not getting more than that.
But would he take that even? Now, you factor in this year on top of that, so that would turn out to be 35. It's 150, which is kind of where we were at before the season.
Yeah. Didn't he turn down 160-something? Remember that a couple years ago?
Yeah,
I think that was the number. Yeah. Boy, that would be incredibly fascinating. I don't know the answer to that because I think fundamentally Stearns is truly opposed to that type of player. But the connection to the Mets, provided there's production,
right?
And in this equation, there's great production. I don't know how let's say he goes 266 average, OPS 912, 44 home runs, 126 RBIs, Mets make the playoffs, don't win the World Series, but they have a really good year. He's vibing with Soto number two. He opts out for $24 million. How the hell do the Mets not resign him?
Yeah, well,
honestly,
here's how they would not resign him. When he goes to the open market, see, from John's perspective, like, oh, yeah, strike while the iron's hot, it would be stupid for Pete Alonso to do that and stupid for the Mets to do that at this particular point. If I'm the Mets, I say, we just gave you $30 million to be the highest paid first baseman.
You're supposed to do.
Exactly. This is what we're paying you to do this. Now, when you hit the open market, we'll again evaluate what the market says. Steve Cohen, he has said this himself, but you didn't even need to hear it from him. He's a guy who clearly is a market guy. That was the case with Brandon Nimmo. That was the case with Juan Soto. That was the case for the guys he lost out on, Yamamoto, Sasaki, whatever. Based on the market, the market will dictate what Pete Alonso's value is, and then Cohen and Stearns have to make a decision whether they think that Pete is worth what the market says and if they want to either go over the market value and pay him to keep him here or just say, like they did with DeGrom, we feel like this is not the right investment for us. They're going to have to make that decision.
I don't think you make a decision based on what I'm about to say, but I think it's a factor here. Like if Juan Soto really likes Pete behind him and they're doing their thing, you got to at least incorporate that into the thought process.
If Soto says it, I do it. That's how I operate. I'm all in on Soto. That's the one caveat here. If Soto comes to me and says, I'm hypothetically Steve Cohen here. Soto comes to me and says, this is the guy we need to keep. I want Pete back. I say, okay. How much you want, Pete? What do we got?
You think there's any chance Pete has a better year than Juan?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
If you take away batting average, I do. All the other things.
Yeah,
I mean, OPS probably is going to slant Juan because it was on base, but... Home runs and ribbies?
Yeah, I still think Soto at the end of the day is going to have, maybe not the ribbies because it's just where he's hitting in the lineup, although maybe he will. Come on, dude. You're already getting sucked in there?
No, I'm not. Listen, I also didn't get sucked into Soto being a 40 home run a year guy. Now, I know he did it a year ago. I think he's more, you know, lowish to mid-30s, where Pete clearly is a 40-plus guy. I think Pete's going to have over 40. I don't think Juan does. And I think because Juan's in front of Pete, I think Pete's going to probably have more RBIs like Judge did.
You see Soto strike out. He struck out yesterday, right? One of the early at-bats in the game. And he just gives that look to the pitcher like...
Yeah, I got to tell you, that look annoys me. I want to get to that coming up. Okay. I know. I saw the at-bat, in admiration, nodding, like, wow. Dude, I got some thoughts. That actually bothered me in real time. And I saw your tweet. You loved it. I couldn't stand it.
Joe Milton got traded from the Patriots to the Cowboys for a 5th and a 7th round pick. So obviously he's not an option. And it shows you the Giants weren't really interested if that's what he went for. If you really wanted him, you would have given up a little bit more to get him.
Oh, yeah. I want to know who was in on him. Yeah. Obviously, the Patriots aren't trading him to the Jets, so take the Jets out of the conversation. Did the Giants get deep with... Listen, they talked to the Patriots last year about trading. Remember? Right. They wanted to get a quarterback. And so there's dialogue there. If the Giants were just reticent to give that up, I think that would be foolish.
Right.
Maybe they just don't like the player, which is their prerogative. Obviously, talent subjective. But I want to learn a little bit more. I'm not surprised he was traded. That's a good move by Dallas, though.
But he's been a big name that fans have brought up as a possible option.
Totally.
And when you see him, I mean, I thought he was going to get more than a 5th and a 7th. I was saying 2nd round, maybe a 3rd round pick. We kind of met in the middle there. A 5th and a 7th, that's it. Yeah, you get 2 picks. But it shows you if they believed in him, they would have went out. You would think if they liked him as a talent, which they probably did not based on that price, to be the backup now for Dak Prescott in Dallas. All right, so the Soto stuff. I love Soto's at bat from yesterday. I like his confidence so much. I don't think it's arrogance. And you see a guy that when he gets beat and struck out kind of gives that look like, all right, you beat me. Wow, that was pretty impressive there. I'm a sucker for that level of confidence. It is rare to see in any player. Soto possesses that. I get that it's over the top, but I'm all for it, especially when he's on my side.
All right, so remember when Mutombo would stop somebody at the rim and he'd wag the finger?
Of course.
Like, so few players dunked on Mutombo. I thought that was warranted.
Right.
I like Juan Soto. Yeah. I think he's really, really good. And, you know, I wanted him to stay with the Yankees. Dude, it's a little much now. Like, you're going to get out, and you're going to get out a lot. Now, this is not to relitigate the Juan Soto career, because I know it gets old after a while, but it just seems a bit much for this part. I have to relitigate. For a guy with 246, all right, I know there were circumstances with the Padres, 1 year, and then the next year hit 275, and the next year hit 288, like... It's not that surprising that somebody got you out, dude. You're not Rod Carew hitting 360 or Tony Gwynn.
But I don't think he was surprised that somebody got him out. I think he was saying, wow, you just beat me badly there. That was an impressive performance from you in this particular bet. He doesn't do that if he grounds out or pops out. He may get mad at himself or whatever. But in this particular case, he just looked at him and gave the pitcher credit and acknowledgement like, you got me there. Maybe next time you're not going to be so fortunate, but you just beat me there pretty good. Good, you know, his way of tipping the cap,
which again, good sportsmanship. I just think it's getting a little excessive here. And I liked it when he did with the Yankees when he was in the middle of a hot streak. I don't love it when, you know, and again, it's early, but when, what is he at now, 240, whatever it is, you know, a couple of empty at-bats yesterday. All right, you got out. Big damn deal. You know, do you realize, and again, his on-base prowess is historic, but, you know, when we talk, you and I reference baseball all the time. And the bolds and the italics, and it just basically to distinguish what player has led the league in certain things. Do you know that the last 3 years, and I just looked at this again to confirm, the last 3 years, Juan Soto has 3 bolds next to his name. One is games played, one is walks, and one is runs. And the runs came with Judge batting behind him. Now, he obviously made Judge's life a lot easier by being on base as well. But I don't know. You don't think that that's a little surprising, like the generational, all-time amazing Juan Soto? The last 3 years, he's led in games played, walks, and runs?
No, I don't.
Because it doesn't add up to generational. That's where I push back. What's generational about that?
I mean, I just think he's a generational talent as far as getting on base. You know that. The at-bats that he gives, his prowess in the postseason. Look, I don't even care if he's generational. He's the player that I've wanted for years. He's the player that my team went out there and got. I love him. And I love him even when he strikes out. Now, obviously he's going to have to produce here.
Yeah.
But just that attitude, that is something that has been lacking. Remember, for a team and a franchise that has been considered little brother, second citizen in town, Juan Soto is little brother to no one. Matter of fact, did you see, what's the dude, Jackson Merrill? What's the guy that got signed by the Padres?
Yeah,
the
yeah. He got 9 years, I think.
Did you see him take a little bit of a shot at Soto?
No.
Okay,
we're
talking about his contract. Like, these people are happy here. They treat me well here. It's not just like you automatically, somebody pays you $700 million and you're going to go be happy. There was a little jab at Juan Soto. Mm. And, I mean, I found it as, a little jealous. Hey, if you want to be happy with your contract, fine. Juan Soto wanted to break the bank. And guess what? He did. And he did it because he went out there and earned it with his performance. And Juan Soto's proven to be a special player where he doesn't wilt to anything, not playing in Yankee Stadium as a member of the Yankees, the pressure of the World Series, doing it against the lefty, doing it against the best pitchers in the game, against with the Nationals years ago. There's nothing that Juan Soto has not achieved as far as that stuff goes. You want to talk about the numbers? Sure. I don't get into that, though, because I just know that there's nobody in the game I'd rather have up in a big spot than Juan Soto. And I love that attitude. I get how it could rub you the wrong way and others. And it probably would rub me the wrong way if he weren't on the Mets or weren't as accomplished as he was in the postseason. But
it's a confidence you've been craving. You've wanted a player's shot. Well, listen, I get that.
Think about the guys that I love. Matt Harvey was my favorite. Yeah. Why do you think that was? Not just because of Harvey.
I got you.
The numbers.
Yeah.
It was because
you're not taking me out of this game.
It's because he went out there and said, I'm going to beat you regardless. You're not taking me out of this game. The sackometer, that has always been a huge thing for me. And I think the Mets have lacked that. Now, Judge has that, and he does it differently than Juan Soto.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do that, the Soto shuffle and the stare at the pitcher and acknowledge it. Judge is confident in his own way, and I love and respect that. But I like the entertainment aspect of it with Juan Soto.
You know, the entertainment is fun. It is. And when he's ripping the ball, it's like, this guy is the ultimate showman.
Yeah.
And I said that last year, so I'm not 2 months later going to change my opinion because he's with the Mets. No, I don't mind the Soto shuffle. That's in the middle of engagement. That is his fuel. And by the way, I don't even mind. Like, I don't mind. I just don't love it. Like, what when you're going to get out, you're going to get out to the point of your failure rate's going to be 70%. I think it's a little overdone. The constant, like his way of tipping the cap, you know, you hit 300, you're as good as they made, right? Like, I don't know. It's a little overblown. Like, almost like he's making himself out to be too, like, I can't even verbalize this properly because I he's amazing. And I do like Juan. I do.
Hey, you get the, all right, calm down guy. You're not
like,
that.
Come on, man. Like, okay. You're not hitting, you're not Miguel Cabrera, you know, or Griffey or Judge. Like, you're different in certain regards. But those numbers I just gave you, and again, not to just pour through numbers, I get it, but you did hit 246 a couple of years ago. Last year, you were very good for the Yankees. You didn't even hit 290, all right? And you weren't even the best player on the team. It just seems a bit overstated, a little played out always. I get it. If you are ripping it and somebody really fools you and you're like, wow, and you do that, okay. But he just does it all the time. Dude, you're going to make outs.
I know, but I love it. And think about it. The pitcher gets him out and he's thinking, all right. He expects to produce every single time up. Who else feels that way? Who else shows it that way? And now he's got to start producing a little bit more here with the Mets. But, oh, man, I love that.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.